Coming up on the pod, we got the Swami. That's right. I'm joined by special guest Simon Hand. And Simon is going to discuss the NFL draft, which took place last week. And Simon is buoyant, I should say. He's overjoyed and excited, but still wary of his Chicago Bears. And the fact that they drafted a quarterback number one in the draft, is Caleb Williams the savior? Well, if he turns out to be as good as projected, he might provide the Bears with their first real quality quarterback since Jim McMahon. Yeah, Jim McMahon. The only cool thing to ever come out of BYU. But I digress. Oh, did I tell you? I've never told you this actually, but I have met the great Jim McMahon. That is true. Cheech and I, this is Super Bowl. I can't remember. It's when the Redskins played the Broncos in San Diego, and our hotel were doing all sorts of special events and crack like that. But anyway, the night before the Super Bowl, Cheech and I went out clubbing, and we ended up in this place. Sit down, have a couple of drinks, and lo and behold, the man himself comes and sits right down next to us at our high table. Cheech and I kind of look at each other like, holy shit, that's Jim McMahon. So I kind of stumped up the courage. I go, hey, how's it going? And he goes, yeah, good, man. And Cheech says, so what are you doing in town? Jimmy just kind of looks. He had sunglasses on, I think, at a dark nightclub. Dude's a badass. And he just says, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. We kind of nodded knowingly, like, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, that's what we all do when the Super Bowl is on. We just travel to where the Super Bowl is. We were so lame. But anyway, within 2 minutes, and I am not exaggerating, within 2 minutes, some stunning smoke show walks up to Jimmy and kind of brushes up against him and starts chatting to him. Jimmy, let's say, forgot about us and began discussing the future with this young lady. It was like a scene out of The Sixth Sense. Like we could see her, but she couldn't see us. We were non-existent ghosts. And Jimmy didn't even finish his drink because he and his new lady friend were gone within 5 minutes. Yeah. And Chicha and I the whole time were wondering, you know, maybe she has friends. Maybe she has friends that could join her, and you know, we'd all party with Jim McMahon and all the hot smoke shows. That didn't happen. I think we had a good night anyway, Chicha, but I don't think we had as good a night as Jimmy McMahon. So anyway, that's one of my many brushes with greatness. Jim McMahon, Super Bowl, San Diego, me, and a Chicha. Good times. I'm also going to discuss the NBA playoffs and someone who's slowly but surely becoming one of my least favorite players in the NBA. And that's Joel Embiid. I mean, unbelievable talent, but my God, does he make a lot of excuses? He just needs to shut up and play the game. And I have a few other takes on the NBA playoffs. And what happened to the Lakers? Is it over? Is LeBron heading someplace else? At least the Clippers are still in it. Come on, guys. Come on. Stick with it. It's Talking Balls. Let's do this. Alrighty then. Welcome back. I'd like to welcome all the listeners and welcoming back the Swami, Simon Hand, to discuss the NFL draft. How are you doing, Swami?
All good, thanks, Mike. I am drafted out now at this stage, to be honest with you. I can't make head nor tail of what's going on. So I hope you'll be able to help me here.
Well, it was for the first three picks, I think it kind of went to script. And we're going to start off with the number one pick, overall pick, Chicago Bears. They had the number one pick. And they picked up Caleb Williams out of USC, a quarterback. Yeah. So it looks like the Bears, after all their chopping and changing and getting rid of Justin Fields, that they finally have a quarterback since the days of Jim McMahon.
Yeah.
As a Bears fan, as an NFL fan, what do you think about the Bears taking Caleb Williams?
Well, I'm still not over Justin Fields going, so I'll start from there. I think when you looked at who else they picked in the draft, I think, for example, the wide receiver, Odunze from Washington, he could have worked with Fields to improve that whole target issue that they had with him. But I remember Chris Sims earlier on in the year saying that he was dubious about the Bears letting Fields go until he saw reports and scouting reports on Caleb Williams. And he understood completely why they decided to go with him as their number one overall pick. They drafted a wide receiver. There's another two good players in there, offensive tackle gone in there, defensive end. And for some strange reason, they also picked a punter. And overall, I think it was a good draft for them. Look, hindsight is going to be 2020 vision on this. A year or two, we'll know how good a decision it was to pick Caleb Williams.
Does it look like Caleb Williams is going to start from the get-go?
Well, I think he is. You know, and like the one drawback to that is I think the way Kansas handled Patrick Mahomes in his first year is really, to me, the model that they should go with. You know, they put him backing up Alex Smith. You stick with this guy and learn everything that you need to know. And he, like, well, maybe he taught Smith a few things. But anyway, that's beside the point. Like, to me, that was the way to go. They didn't lorry the pressure on him. But then, bear in mind, Mahomes wasn't the number one draft pick. But you know,
Special talent. I mean, this guy's got it all. I mean, they talk about he's got an arm. Touched by God. He's got a great football IQ. They talk about he's creative. He's got a real positive attitude. He's got they talk about the moxie. Yeah. You know, walks with real confidence. Like this guy can just walk in and grab the locker room by the throat and say, this is my team. But is that going to, like, the Bears are pretty good. So he's not coming into a disastrous situation. They have the makings of a decent team. So there is a risk involved with bringing in somebody so new and basically handing over the keys of the car to somebody so young.
I think there's a huge risk to it. But having said that, what I do admire about them is they decided this is the route they're going. They got rid of Fields. There was no humming and hawing. This is what we're going to do. And they did it. Unfortunately, they'll be judged, as I say, in a year or two as to whether they did the right thing, and they'll probably be hammered to high hell for not doing the right thing. But I think they did. One of the comments that I heard was when they apparently Troy Taylor is one of the best punters in college football because he played for such a bad team. He got to punt a lot and got very good at it. And when he was picked, Caleb Williams sent him a text saying that he'll have to use the practice ground for his punting because he won't be doing it on game day.
Right, okay.
And I thought, fair play to you. That's I like that.
There's a lot to be said for confidence at this level, as many people will say, Once you get the professional level of any type of sport, it's the mental game that eclipses the physical talents. Like all these guys are really good at playing football, but it's that confidence and that belief in oneself that pushes them over to the top to go from good to great.
But I think as well, Mike, the very, very good quarterbacks that come out of college, it doesn't matter what ranking they are or where they're picked, they're not used to losing. They don't know what it's like to be under pressure to pull a game out of the fire. And that's why I think you have the likes of Mahomes or Brady or those guys who were way, they were used to having to perform under pressure to pull games out of the fire. To get used to losing. Some of those guys probably played 4 years of football and probably lost about three games in it.
Sure.
You know, their colleges were so strong. So it'd be very interesting to see. In fairness, look, we're going to give them all a chance. You know what I mean? End of. And I being a long-suffering Bears fan, I can never be too confident. Never. Because as you rightly say, they can stump the best team in the league, and then they could go down to an average Green Bay team with an average quarterback and get absolutely hockey. So it doesn't,
Sure.
you just can't put too many hopes on the Bears. I'd love to see them come through. They're a franchise, or one of the founding franchises of the whole NFL, and you'd love to see them, you know, do better than they've been doing.
Yeah, I think the league kind of yearns for a strong Chicago Bears. The history, the tradition, everything. You want them to be at least competitive as opposed to past years where it's just been a debacle.
They get into good place, and then they lose a number of games and puts them out of playoff picture, and then you're just trying to play for the highest draft pick that you can get by finishing as low in the overall position as you can on the power ranking. So interestingly though, Mike, I was just having a quick look overall at the AFC and the NFC, the two teams. And overall, apart from Atlanta, I definitely think the NFC teams did way better in the draft than the AFC teams.
Well, let's take a look at that. For example, we were talking about perennial debacles. The Washington Commanders, the Commies picked up LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels. There's
Great.
some questions about not his ability. He's got all the skills, great talent, but his size has been questioned. Is he going to be big enough to take hits at the next level?
To see over the blummin' line of scrimmage is the big challenge. But there are small quarterbacks that do it. Murray is an example. Russell Wilson wasn't exactly huge. You know what I mean? There's guys who have played in the position who aren't especially tall, who have been brilliant. But I think you need a special kind of offensive line to support the smaller option. It's funny, there were some people saying to me that overall they thought Daniels might have been a better pick than Caleb Williams, but they must have been looking at some other commentary on it because I didn't see that anywhere. Caleb Williams was definitely the number one by a mile, they say, for the draft.
Sure. I'd have to agree with you there. I think it's almost a no-brainer for the Bears. They had to take Caleb Williams. If they were to take somebody else, they'd be second-guessed for their history if he turned into the superstar of which he has the potential to be. God, can you imagine if they took some other quarterback and it didn't work out and then he goes on to superstardom and the Bears flounder for another decade?
Well, bearing in mind that they had an option at one stage in the draft to take Mahomes, and they took Trubisky instead. So, you know, their track record isn't good. So they had to get it right this time. I think
Absolutely.
a lot of the commentary is saying that the winners in the NFC are the Eagles and the Commanders. Now, I would tend to agree with that, but the Commanders, I think, is going to be much a longer project, I think, than the Eagles. Like, the Eagles are strong, and they picked up some nice I have to fly up here because I can't remember them all. Some nice players, you know what I mean, overall, you know, particularly on the defense. They're always going to be knocking on the door of playoffs or AFC or NFC championship games and that anyway. So
Yeah, well, they picked
glad
up Cooper
they don't have such a
DeJean.
casual.
He's
Yeah,
a
they did.
cornerback out of Iowa. He went
Yeah.
number 40 overall in the draft.
Yeah.
And as
Yeah.
you say, they're a quality team already. They're just trying to
Already.
fill little gaps here and
Yeah.
there.
Yeah. No, they got rated. Their draft performance is rated very highly across the commentators that I was reading. So, like, again, I questioned the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not sure how good a draft they had, but it seems to be rated high enough. So, apart from Atlanta, every single NFC team seemed to do, well in the draft. Atlanta, the big query is, what the hell are you doing tying Cousins to a 2-year, $100 million plus deal, and then go in and get Penix Jr. on a draft pick?
Another quarterback out of the
Another
University of
quarterback.
Washington. Yeah, that was the big surprise. See, now
Yeah.
you're fucking up my rhythm here,
Am
Swami.
I?
But no, but that's
I'm
okay.
sorry.
That's
I'm
what you
you
do.
should be used to me doing that.
But you're right. That's the big question mark. That was the biggest
Yeah.
surprise, without question. And it didn't happen
Yeah.
later in the first round. It was pick
No.
number 8, the Atlanta
Yeah.
Falcons select
Yeah.
Michael
Yeah.
Penix Jr. out of the University of Washington. I mean, wow. After
Yeah.
them, as you say, just signing Kirk Cousins for nine
Zillions of
figure
dollars or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
a zillion
Yeah.
dollars to
Yeah.
play.
Yeah.
Apparently, they texted Kirk Cousins minutes before they selected Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th pick.
Yeah.
And some reports say he was quite surprised, to say the least. What do you think is the situation there in Atlanta?
Yeah, but at the same time, I go back to the something that I said earlier on about, okay, have your super duper quarterback, in who they believe is Kirk Cousins or whatever. And in fairness, he's not a bad quarterback. Let this new young guy come in and, track him. Do the Chiefs trick on him. And see how they get on. So again, we're all looking at this the same way everybody else is, wondering, did everybody make the right decision? Time will tell. And then you can play this back to everybody and say how right we were, Mike.
Yeah, and I think your approach is bang on. I mean, this guy, Michael Penix Jr., terrific athlete, a
Yeah.
proven winner with
Yeah.
Washington. He
Yeah.
was arguably, as they say, the best athlete remaining in the draft at that time. And
Yeah.
although Kirk Cousins is a quality quarterback, there's 29, 30 other teams that would select him.
Yeah.
As their number one guy, they got to think about the future. And
They
Kirk
have.
Cousins is not going to be around 3, 4, 5 years down the line. They had to find somebody. I think it's worth a gamble.
And I have to say one thing, like, these general managers of these football teams aren't idiots. And you wonder, was their thinking in getting Cousins to do exactly what they did in the draft? They paid a lot of money for Cousins. I don't know if I would have paid them what they're paying them. So look, as you say, time will tell, and we'll be proven right, I think.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I think nobody has benefited more from being in a documentary than Kirk Cousins was in that Netflix documentary
Yes, I
about
agree with you.
quarterbacks. I
Yeah,
mean, his
yeah,
stock has
yeah,
just
yeah,
risen.
yeah.
Yes, he's coming out. He's thrown for tens of thousands of yards. He's been a quality quarterback for a number of years, but he hasn't really done huge amounts in the playoff. And all of a
No.
sudden, he's signing massive contracts as the sun is starting to set on his career. So,
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
speaking of quarterbacks, and our second favorite team, not the New England Patriots, they went after North Carolina QB Drake May, which was
Yes.
kind of expected. What do you think about
Yeah.
that? Is he going to be the guy, the next
Well,
Tom Brady?
look. No, I don't think he's going to be the next Tom Brady, because I don't think I don't, there's only about one player at the moment who has the potential to be the next Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I don't think so. And I think New England are going to have to, like, I wouldn't be expecting too much of them next year. Belichick is gone, going to have a new coaching team. I really don't know what Robert Kraft is expecting of the Patriots next year. I hope it's not much, because He'd be disappointed if it is, I think.
Yeah, we could be looking at a winter, many winters of discontent for the Patriots as they adjust to post Belichick, post Brady, post everything, and start afresh with a kid out in North Carolina. Mind you, he's got all the skills, big, great arm. We'll see. Having said that, I do a little segue into who I think is the number one no doubter in the draft. Cardinals picked up wide receiver out of Ohio State, Marvin Harrison Jr. I think this guy's going to be fantastic, and I think he landed in a great spot in Arizona.
No, Arizona had a good draft. You know, they really did. Let me just go back up here and see who else they got. So you think I'd be able to remember all these, but anyway, I'm an old man. Yeah, they had a lot. Like at number 4, 27. Like they did a lot on the first day. Wide
Yeah, they
receiver,
got
a
a
couple of
defensive end out of
defenders.
Missouri, Darius Robinson.
They got a few. Yeah, they got Jesus. That they've got a right long list. They must have had a lot of draft trades, going forward. Jeez, they've nearly got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12. Jesus. Yeah. No. Overall, they seem to have a good draft. Like. Again, it goes back to the point I was making. The NFC teams, all of them seem to have a very, very good draft. Like even the NFC West teams, Arizona, Los Angeles Rams, San Francisco, Seattle, they all had a good draft. There's a bit of a debate about how well Seattle did over the commentary that I saw. But overall, I think you'd have to say it was good. One comment there, Mike, New Orleans Saints, they picked up a quarterback called Spencer Rattler. Now, do you remember him from the Netflix series Beyond the Lights?
I know Spencer Rattler, but I'm not familiar with Beyond the
Yeah.
Lights.
So he played for this high school team, and he was the number one ranked quarterback in high school in America. But he got into some trouble and he was suspended from the school, so he couldn't play football there. No, I have to say one thing: whoever signed the non-disclosure agreement must have been locked tight, because not a word has come out as to what he did. But then he went on into high school and he rattled around a few colleges and all that, and then he was picked up by New Orleans Saint in the draft. I want to tell you something: this guy could be somebody worth looking at or watching. I really do. He was number 150. He came out of South Carolina. That wasn't the first college he went to. I think he was in one of the bigger colleges. It's gone out of my head who it was, but just somebody to watch. Like, not all the best players in the NFL are in the top 20 in the draft.
Sure. Well, he went 150 overall.
150 overall.
And the 12th, I think he, the 12th or 13th quarterback in the draft.
So, be interesting to see.
All right. So he's a bit of a Spencer Rattler is your
Spencer Rattler,
sleeper
you won't forget
pick.
the name. A sleeper. For me, it's just something that, you know, he made a mistake in high school. He got suspended. He didn't end up where he wanted to end up, and he had to fight hard to get to where he wants to be. And those are the guys, I think, that you need to be looking at.
Yeah, guys carrying a bit of baggage.
Baggage, yeah. I don't think he's going to be another Johnny Manziel. He got it out early.
Jeez, poor Johnny.
Johnny, yeah.
Poor
Or
Johnny.
maybe he will be another Johnny Manziel. Who knows?
God forbid, because those are just tragic stories. You hate to hear about them because
100%.
they're
100%.
just burning the candle a bit too brightly on both ends.
Because
So,
he was that good, he could. But it always catches up with you.
it certainly does. So, were there any other surprises or really special picks that you liked this year? As you
I'll
say,
tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing. Unfortunately for everybody, Kansas City had a good draft. And their record in drafts has been very good. I'd say they deliberately target everything that the Bills have in draft picks to upgrade their own drafts, and the Bills would say have nightmares about it, because they did a very, very good draft, I think, with considering they probably had to trade picks to keep free agencies or to buy in free agents or whatever down through the years. But I'll tell you, Andy Reid is one shrewd cookie. And there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that those guys are going for their three-peat, and they've started off well, I think.
With another quality draft, even though they're Super
Oh,
Bowl
the quality draft.
champions.
Super Bowl champions 2 years in a row. They've been in the Super Bowl four times out of the last five, won three. They have probably the greatest player in football at the moment by a country mile. They have locked in Chris Jones on the defensive side for another year. They've locked in Travis Kelce for another 2 years, which is probably going to see him, retire from that franchise. They have a good they've strengthened their defense, sorry, their offense, another offensive tackle. They have another tight end coming in there who apparently is very highly rated, who might be the successor to Kelce. And like, these guys know what they're doing. This guy Xavier Worthy apparently set the record in the combine for speed,
Right.
and the last time they had a speedster, it was Tyreek Hill. Now they did let him go, but you just have to say what a draft they've had.
And
It's not going to get
speaking,
any easier to dislodge them.
no, it certainly won't be. And we haven't had a chance to talk since we first started this conversation months and months ago about Lewis Rees-Zammit, the
Yes, I
Welsh
have it on my
kid
list to talk about.
rugby player. So let's talk about it right now. He was signed by your second favorite team in the league, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Kansas
What
City
do you think
Chiefs.
about that?
Well, again, I go back to what I said. The Chiefs are no mugs. They've obviously seen something. And at the end of the day, it's a cheap get by NFL standards. He won't cost them a whole lot, and the kudos they'll get for taking somebody from the international player pathway will be huge for them. And I think it'll force other teams to look down that road. And don't forget that in that internet, there was actually Travis Clayton was drafted by the Bills, a rugby player who's never played American football at all in the
Okay.
draft. And then we have our own Irish Charlie Smith, who went to New Orleans Saints as a kicker.
That's
So
right.
that
He's got a
international
chance of
player,
making the squad. Yeah.
she has, yeah. And like, I also noticed that the NFL UK has rebranded to NFL UK in Ireland. And that's in no small part to the fact that Ireland has been partnered with the Pittsburgh Steelers in this whole internationalization of the NFL. So like, it's just the NFL is just growing and growing and growing. And I think more and more and more people are going to get to love it, or perhaps hate it, as the case may be, as it goes forward. I think it's brilliant, brilliant
And
stuff on the international
have
player
you
pathway.
heard any rumors about maybe the NFL playing a game over here? It
I
would either
have.
be in Croke Park or the Aviva Stadium. Croke Park obviously would be ideal because it can hold 80,000 plus. What did you hear about that?
I've heard 2025, there's a good chance of an NFL game, regular season game, coming to Ireland.
Okay.
I heard that, and in no small part to the owners of the Steelers organization, who have huge Irish connections. Like their father, the original owner, he was ambassador, U.S. State, ambassador to Ireland for a while.
Mr.
So there's huge
Rooney.
connection. Mr. Rooney, Dan Rooney, I think was his
Yep.
name. Yeah. So there's
Yep.
huge, huge. And I know he tried to get a game here before, but it was the wrong time because they were trying to build up the London franchise, the games in London. Now they expanded to Germany, and I think there's a bit of wriggle room now for them maybe to plant if they have five or six games in Europe, and maybe they'll move one of them around, maybe one in Ireland or one in Spain or, maybe a third one in Germany or something, because the interest in Germany is huge. Whatever chance you have of getting a ticket to a London game, you have zero chance of getting one in Germany. The interest in Germany is huge.
Yeah, well, I think throughout all of Europe, I
Yeah.
think these are great melting pots, the games that are
Yeah.
played in London or in Germany. It just people from around the continent are flying in, training in to see the NFL.
No, I think it's huge, huge.
Huge. Well, looks like you've more games to go to then, haven't you?
Oh, 100%. I'm going to have to start saving. Do a bit of overtime. So on the AFC side, they still say the Steelers had a very good draft, and the Bills had a bad draft. But it's more that they had a bad draft because they gave away a pick to Kansas City. Is the what I'm reading of it. I think overall they did okay.
Right.
I think the loss of Diggs won't be as big as it's made out, because I think he and Allen weren't getting on together anyway. So it'll be interesting to see if their picks come along
Well,
to
they
help them
went
make it strong.
out. Their first pick was in round two. They went out and got Keon Coleman, who's that flash wide receiver out of Florida State. So they weren't messing around. They knew what they were doing. They're going to replace one for one. And I'd agree as well. I don't think your man is as big a loss as everyone says. I think some guys pump themselves up in the media to think they're greater. Like, okay, good receiver, had that one catch a number of years ago in that playoff game with the Vikings. But other than that, come on.
But it
Great wide
it's
receivers are a dime a dozen nowadays.
and as well as that, Mike, it's the whole team ethos that, like, I hate keep talking about the Chiefs, but you have to talk about them because they're double Super Bowl champions and they've won three in the last 5 years. But they put out their big contracts for Jones and Kelce, and they set the spine of their team with Mahomes actually restructuring his contract to give them some cap space, right?
Right.
And then at the end of the Super Bowl, all you heard from L'Jarius Sneed was "Pay me, pay me, pay me." So he moved for the money rather than a shot at history. He could have had three on a three-peat Super Bowl team, first time ever in history. But no, oh, he wanted the money up. That's what he wanted. Now, it's hard to be critical because a lot of these guys are one game away from being end of career.
Sure.
But I just think sometimes these guys don't look at the big picture. Would you like to be remembered as a player on a team that won three Super Bowls in a row? I think you would.
Having said that, the draw of tens of millions of dollars has to be significant
Has to be
for guys
significant,
like that. If you've come from nothing and all of a sudden you've got something plus, it means a big difference. So I
It
don't
does.
begrudge guys who go for the money as
No.
opposed to the championships. Well, my.
Yeah, I'm probably being a bit harsh on him, but I just feel that, sometimes there is more to life than money. But anyway,
Yes. Says the guy who's going to try to pray for overtime so he can go see, watch
So
these
go see more
guys.
games. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you know what? If I don't, I watch them on TV.
He certainly will. Certainly will. So,
So
anything
there was
else you
one
wanted
other,
to cover?
yeah, there was one other thing. Oh, yeah, the Derrick Henry move to Baltimore, I think, was a brilliant move.
So you like
Brilliant move.
that move for the
I
Ravens?
think it is brilliant. I think it protects Lamar a little bit more. It gives them another option. And I can tell you one thing. If Derrick Henry was running for me, I'd be running the other way. He's a tank, and he gets better as the game goes on. Now he is getting older, I know that, but I think it so strengthens the run game of Baltimore that I think it's a big move.
Yeah, just another weapon for them to leverage to the advantage.
Yeah, 100%. They'll be, I'll tell you, and they had a good draft as well, Baltimore. They'll be there or thereabouts next year.
Well, they were close this year and then they collapsed
Jesus, they
in the
were like
playoffs.
they were all close. It at the end of the day, it all comes down to playing, real, real hard football in those wild card and the playoff games and the super wild card games or whatever the hell they're called. And the only the very, very best will get into that Super Bowl. And again, only the very, very best will win, or that will to win that Kansas seem to have. No other team at the moment seems to have found a way to negate it.
Yeah, so I guess a quick question before you head off. If the Ravens have Derrick Henry last year against the Chiefs. Are they going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
Is
I
that, I
honestly.
guess, rather sorry, I'll rephrase the question. Do you think the Ravens went out and got Derrick Henry because it would have made a difference, or it could make a big difference the next time they face the Chiefs in the playoffs?
I don't think they got him specifically for the Chiefs. I think they got him to try and prolong and protect Lamar a little bit. Like, you know, and I know, when you take off in the in that running back position, you're going to get hit. Now, I know the quarterback always has to slide, but you don't see Lamar Jackson sliding too often. He's either running out of bounds or he's being tackled hard. You know, and anyone tackling him is not going to miss the chance to, hit him hard. So I think that's why they did it. But I think having done it, I think it really improves their chances of getting over the line of the Chiefs if that's the way it goes. Like, we still haven't heard from Pete Schrager, who has picked for 6 straight years the Super Bowl contenders and the winners. And it'd be very interesting to see after the draft, and I suppose coming up to the first game of the season, who he sees being in the Super Bowl in February the 9th, 2025.
You've already got it penciled into your diary.
I have a pencil into my diary. I wrote it down here so I wouldn't forget.
Where's it on next year, anyway?
It's on in the Superdome, New Orleans.
That'd be a good road trip, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a nice stadium as well.
Mike and the Swami hit Bourbon Street.
Jesus, yeah. We'll see if it gets sponsorship for that, Mike.
I'll start working on it immediately.
The prizes I've seen for a ticket to the Super Bowl, I can tell you, I'd need more than overtime. I need a lot of wins. Oh God, I tell you, need all of Willie Mullins' horses to fall at the first fence to
Indeed.
have high odd horses winning races to have a chance getting money for a Super Bowl run. No, so that's pretty much it from my side, Mike. As I say, I think it was a good draft, but a lot of the stuff that happens, on the sidelines of these things is nearly more interesting than the draft itself, I think.
Sure. Well, there's still a long road to go. These guys
Sure.
got to go through summer camp and the optionals and all that kind of crack
Yeah.
and injuries that take place, retirements. There's a long way to go before the season kicks off.
Yeah.
What it'll
That's and
be
that's the key,
September or
like,
something this year.
yeah,
Yeah.
September, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll definitely have you back during the summertime to review the progress the teams have made and see how your little Caleb Williams Wonder Boy is doing in Chicago.
Come on, Chicago, on the Bears. We have to do well this year.
Well,
Have to. But I'll tell you one thing, if we can beat the Green Bay Packers home and away, I'd nearly take that as a good start.
that's right.
We haven't beaten them in a
2-15
long
with two wins over the Packers, you'd be happy
Yeah,
now.
exactly. Well, I'm not saying now. I'm nearly happy. I'd like a few more wins.
All right, on that note, we're going to say thanks and goodbye to the Swami, Simon Han. Simon, look after yourself. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mike. You take care. Thank you. Bye.
All right, bro. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Okay, we're back and we're talking NBA playoffs, and we're well into the second week of action. And I'll give you a brief recap on where we stand. In the Western Conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder swept away New Orleans Pelicans. They dominated, basically. It was always going to be an uphill battle for the Pels without Zion Williamson and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And the rest of the boys from OKC swept them away in 4 straight games. So they will await the winner of the Clippers-Mavs series. And that's tied 2-2. They both won home and away. And the Clips are playing better without Kawhi than they are with. Harden's been big. Paul George has stepped up. And Kyrie Irving has been the superstar that he has been throughout his entire career, but without the drama. And he's kind of carrying that team because Luka is putting up big numbers, but they're not quality numbers. His efficiency's down, and it's really Kyrie and the supporting cast that are doing the job and keeping them in that series. So they play tonight, which is Wednesday night in Dallas. So we'll see how that series goes. Clips still got a chance. They can steal one in Dallas. Maybe they can come home and finish it off, but it's a mad series. It was going to always be tight, and we're seeing that through the first four games, tied 2-2. In the bottom half of the bracket, the T-Wolves dusted away the Suns four straight. Timberwolves look really, really good. Anthony Edwards is him. He is the now. We talked about it in the podcast a couple of weeks ago with Todd and Owen about maybe this is the stage, national stage, where he gets to show everyone in the country and around the world who he really is. And he is showing up like the diamond he is, doing it on both sides of the floor, offensively, defensively, and when it really matters down the stretch. At the end of games, it's the Ant-Man show. Fantastic performance. The Suns, well, they're all heading off to Cancun or wherever, and that big three. But like I said in the last podcast, it's not a big three because Beal is not a big three. He's not, and he showed it. His performance in game three was one of the worst performances by a known player in recorded history, and certainly in my memory, he was non-existent. Kevin Durant has a lot of questions to ask himself. What is he going to do? And the Suns themselves are going to have to figure out, do they blow it all up? Do they think about dealing Durant and try to get some draft capital, bring in some new fresh blood, and possibly build around Devin Booker? I think that might be an option at the moment because, quite frankly, it's just not working. You can go on and win 50 games in the regular season year after year. But if you're getting swept by a young team like the Timberwolves, who also have some quality veterans, their future is just not bright. So my thoughts are the Suns have got to completely rethink what they're doing. Matt Ishbia, the owner, he spent a lot of money when he first got there. Maybe he's going to have to rethink what they do going forward because they will be a non-factor come playoff time, year after year after year, because there's a lot of quality in the West and they're not getting any younger and not getting any better. And then in the last set of games, the Nuggets disposed of the Lakers 4-1. Jamal Murray was all world when it counted in the fourth quarter with a couple of buzzer beaters to turn the Lakers home. Nuggets look really good. They face the Timberwolves in the next round, and that is a series for the ages. I know the Thunder are the number one seed overall, but either of those two teams could have been the number one seed. Had it not been for results on the final game of the season, and they are playing like number one seeds. So Wolves and Nuggets will be a fantastic series, and I would expect the winner of that to actually go on to the NBA Finals and perhaps win it all. The Lakers, what do you do? I don't know. LeBron is still playing at an exceptionally high level. Anthony Davis was mega. They were massive in those games. They played really well. Their supporting cast kind of stood up and they competed really well with Denver. And in fact, they could have won two of the games that they lost. I mean, in all reality, it could have been the Lakers going into that final game up 3-1. But they just couldn't get it done when it mattered. Questions were asked of LeBron, what are you going to do next? And he declined to answer because, quite frankly, I'm not sure he knows. Does he want to give it another run with Los Angeles, or does he want to move to other green pastures to see if he can get the title that he so desperately wants. Big questions to be asked of the Lakers this coming summer, and what's going to happen to LeBron. Stay tuned. We're going to follow that story because I think it is a massive story. Because, quite frankly, any team that has LeBron has a legitimate chance to win a championship. And there could be some teams out there who think, yeah, fuck it. Let's just gamble with a 40, 41-year-old LeBron James who's still playing at an extremely high level, and he could get us over the hump. So we'll see. My thought is, he's all about the drama. He's all about himself. He could go someplace else. Maybe the Warriors? I don't know. I'll talk to Owen about that in another podcast. In the East, the Celtics have a 3-1 lead over the Heat. Without Jimmy Butler, we talked about this in previous podcasts. They just don't have the firepower to stay with the Celtics. I know game two, they shot the lights out from three, but it was an anomaly. I just don't think that they can stay with Boston, especially with the way that the big players from the Celtics are playing. Derek White has been fantastic. He's turning into one of my favorite players. Hustles all the time, plays great defense, and hits big shots. And even though Kristaps Porzingis has gone down with an injury, and that was something I talked about many, many weeks ago, without him, they're a different team, but they still have a lot of quality on that ball club that I think that they can get past their next opponents, which will either be the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Orlando Magic. Cavaliers lead that series 3-2. Every game has been won by the home team. Magic hosts the next one on Friday to see if they can even that up and push it back to Cleveland. Two evenly matched teams. When the Magic shoot it well, they can compete and play well. But my goodness, if they don't, I think Cleveland's gonna get through that, and they'll take on the Celtics in the next round. The bottom half of the Eastern Conference bracket, the Pacers lead the Bucks 3-2. Bucks are fighting. They are really fighting. Lost last night, but they're without Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo, which is extraordinary that they're still in this series 3-2. They're in Indianapolis tonight, and or rather, it's Thursday night. It's win or go home. So expect them to come up with everything they've got. Bobby Portis has got to play better, and he can't afford to get kicked out of games like he did in game four. I mean, come on, Bobby. You're a veteran. You got to do better. You got to do better. You can't be throwing punches because you know it's an automatic ejection. So Bucks are still in with the chance, but Pacers at home, they love to run and gun. And if Haliburton and the boys get it going early, I don't know if the Bucks can keep pace. And then the final bracket is, oh, wow, what a series. Knicks and 76ers. Knicks lead at 3-2. They were up 3-1, but Philly got the victory last night in New York to bring it back to Philly. It's a terrific series. Jalen Brunson is just, he's fantastic. He put up 47 in game four, an all-time New York Knicks scoring record for the playoffs. He's been fantastic. Josh Hart is now becoming my favorite player in all of basketball. If you just focus on the game and watch him when he's in the game, and to tell you the truth, you can always see him because the guy plays 46 to 48 minutes every game. So you're not going to miss him if you're looking out for him because the guy gives everything for virtually an entire game. He plays fantastic defense. He rebounds like a maniac. I was looking at some statistic. In the history of the Knicks, there have been four players who have grabbed more than 50 rebounds in the first four games of a series. Four players in the history of the Knicks in a four-game playoff series. And Josh Hart is one of those guys. He's 6'4". All right. Now, for most people who listen to this, 6'4 is a pretty big guy. But when you compare him to the other guys that are on that list, they include Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley. Now, Patrick was a 7-footer, and Charles Oakley was about 6'9", 280, and that was his only job, was to smash, bash, box out, and rebound the basketball. And yet Josh Hart is doing all that, as well as scoring, as well as facilitating, as well as play, absolutely stellar defense. He's fantastic. Just watch it, folks. I'm telling you, just focus and center your attention on Josh Hart, and you will see how the game of basketball should be played. Constantly moving, constantly working hard on defense, doing everything he can on offense. Fantastic player. I would love to see the Knicks take out Philadelphia, because I am now fed up with listening to Joel Embiid bitch and moan and cry. Now, I know he's had some injuries issues. He's battling through some serious knee problems. We saw him in game one, went up for that pass to himself off the board, slam, came down. He hasn't been right since then. So fair play to him for sucking it up and doing the best he can. I think in game three, he spun for 50. But every game that he doesn't play particularly well or they lose, he's got an excuse. It's the refs or it's the crowd. What the other night, game four, they were in Philadelphia. Loads of Knicks fans came down the road. Sure, it's only a 2-hour drive. And the Knicks fans were quite a voice. They were very impressive and supported the Knicks tremendously. And after the game, Joel just bitched about, I thought Philly was a sports town, and yet there was loads of Knicks in the seats. I mean, is that the reason you lost, Joel? Seriously? You're blaming it on Philly fans who might have sold their tickets, incredibly expensive tickets, I might add, to Knicks fans? Is this the best you can do? I mean, there's no doubting the talents that Joel Embiid has. I mean, the last 2 years, when he's on the floor, he is putting up incredible offensive numbers. I mean, they're Chamberlain-like. Seriously, one of the best scoring centers in the history of the game. Defensively, he's an incredible presence in the paint. We talked about it last week and a couple of weeks ago. With him on the court, the Sixers are a completely different team, and in a good way. Their plus minus is much better when he is on their court. Their win-loss record is much better when he plays. So I wasn't overly excited that he won the most valuable player last year. I think the MVP should be renamed to Player of the Year. But from a most valuable player perspective, he won't win this year. It'll probably be Nikola Jokic. But from a team perspective, he truly is one of the most valuable players in the league, because without him, the Sixers have absolutely no chance. And it's a pity that a guy with that type of talent, all that he's gone through, whether it be through college, whether it be through the process that Philadelphia implemented by basically burning down their entire organization and building from the ground up, surrounding him with good players and pieces to make them a contender. He is the focal point of that team. And yet, when they have a bad game, they lose. He has a poor performance. He can't just stick his hand up and say, you know what? I got to be better. I've got to make better decisions. I've got to rebound better. I mean, the Knicks are slaughtering the Sixers on the boards. And it's not just because of Josh Hart. I mean, Hartenstein is absolutely macerating the Sixers on the boards. mean, the Knicks are picking up offensive rebounds left, right, and center. And a lot of that comes down to the Sixers just not playing good defense. And that is one of the key things that they need to focus on to slow the Knicks down. I mean, Brunson is slicing and dicing them to death. He is getting into the paint on a regular basis. And if he does miss a shot, Knicks are picking up rebounds, kicking him out. They're getting two and three chances to score. Joel Embiid, you have to be better in the games where the rest of your team is not playing well. You've got to stop making excuses. Don't worry about the refs. Don't worry about the calls. Just get on and play your game. And you guys might be able to pull this off. Like I said, they play Thursday night in Philly, down 3 games to 2. It's win or stay home in this case. I hope the Knicks roll them. I just want to get rid of Philadelphia at this point. I really don't want to hear any more excuses. Just play your game. If they play well, especially with that kid, Tyrese Maxey, who I pointed out a couple of weeks ago, this guy is a superstar and he's showing it in the playoffs. And he did last night in Game 5. He saved the Sixers' season. He's just a kid and he's playing out of his mind on the biggest stage in front of the most hostile environments known to sporting man. Tyrese Maxey, you're a stud. I never hear you bitching and moaning and crying about the refs after a game. Maybe Joel could take a leaf out of your book. He might sleep better, and the Sixers might be able to pull this off and advance to the next round. That's all I have to say about that. Roll on the next rounds of the playoffs, folks. It's getting squeaky bum time. We'll be back right after this. Okay, that's going to do it for the pod. I want to thank you all for listening. And of course, I want to thank my very special guest, the Swami, Simon Hand. It's always great to hear Simon's voice. It's always great to meet with him. He was there when I first kicked this crazy podcast off a couple of months ago. And hopefully, we'll have him back during the summertime. The season is just around the corner. September. It's now May. Wow. Time flies when you're talking balls. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Later.